dead, but you are the living word.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to another weekly podcast of The Living Word with author, preacher, and teacher, Bishop Angel Mason. Today's broadcast is probably one of the most important we've ever done. Today, Bishop Mason will share with you how to receive the marvelous gift of the Holy Spirit. But before we begin, I want to remind you that we will be ministering at Golgotha Trinity Baptist Church, located at 1630 East 14th Street in the city of Long Beach, California, this Sunday, July 22nd at 10:45 a.m. The following Sunday, July 29th, 2007, we will be at Greater New Zion Baptist Church, located at 501 West 80th Street in the city of Los Angeles, California. And we look forward to seeing all of our West Coast partners at these anointed services. For those of you who have tuned in for the first time, we would like to invite you to visit our new website at www.thewordcenter.info. There, you will be able to join our national prayer group called the Dominion Prayer Force and email us your prayer request. Now, let's focus our hearts and minds on Jesus, the living word, as we enter into a time of worship and praise.
Lord, enable me, your servant, to speak your word today with great boldness. Stretch forth your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. May this place today be shaken with the power of God, and may we be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak the word of God boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. Ye shall receive power. After Jesus' death and resurrection, before departing this earth, he showed himself to his disciples and many others and gave many convincing proofs that he was indeed alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, however, while he was eating with them, he gave them a command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised you, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:1-8. One may have power or ability to perform an activity or deed, yet one may not possess the authority to do it. But Jesus Christ had both the power and authority. He bestowed these upon his followers, having said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 10:19. Now, in the Church of Jesus Christ today, there has been much controversy and confusion over the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But truthfully, I do not understand why any of us should be confused. For the scripture plainly declares that there is a very necessary endowment of power that the Holy Spirit desires to give and perform in the life of every believer subsequent or following the new birth experience. This experience, as previously stated, is called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus was talking about in Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," meaning wait, "in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24:49. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost hath come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 1:8. It is important to note that every born-again believer has the Holy Ghost in a measure through the new birth, according to John 3:5-8 and John 4:14. But this is not the same as the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the endowment of power from on high that Jesus talked about in Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8, and John 7:38. Just because someone is born again doesn't mean that he or she is filled with the Holy Spirit. Proof: in Acts 19, we see an example of man receiving what God has already provided previously on the day of Pentecost. Acts 19:1-2, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard of whether there be any Holy Ghost." When Paul came to Ephesus, he didn't ask the question, "Has God given you the Holy Ghost?" He asked, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Acts 19:2. In Acts chapter 8, we see an additional account of Samaritan Christians receiving the Holy Spirit after being born again. Acts 8:14-15. "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritan Christians had received the word of God concerning salvation, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." Notice that it said that they might receive the Holy Ghost in verse 15. Peter and John didn't pray that God would pour out the Holy Ghost on them. They prayed that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 8:17 says, "Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost." Saul of Tarsus was born again on the road of Damascus, according to Acts 9:4-8. God later sent Ananias to lay hands on Saul, that Saul might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:17 reads, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house where Paul was, and putting his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" Ananias didn't say, "God has sent me to pray for you that he would give you the Holy Ghost." And Ananias didn't say, "God has sent me to pray for you that he would pour his Holy Spirit out upon you." Ananias said, "Jesus has sent me that thou mightest be filled with the Holy Spirit," according to Acts 9:17. You don't have to pray that God would send salvation and save someone. God has already done that through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Instead, the correct prayer would be to pray that the person receives salvation. You don't pray that God would send healing and heal someone. You pray for that person to receive healing. God has already provided salvation, thank the Lord, and given healing and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. All we need to do is willingly receive this marvelous gift, for it is already given. Many falsely believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is for a select group of people. And Satan has lied to many of us and convinced many of us that this gift is only for an anointed select few. But not so. The only prerequisite for being filled with the Holy Spirit is the born again experience. Ye must be born again. You don't have to be a bishop, an apostle, a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet or prophetess, but you simply need only be born again. For the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all believers, not a select few. On the day of Pentecost, Peter boldly declared to the multitude of believers, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call, according to Acts 2, 38 through 39. Now, some people erroneously believe that you can be filled with the Spirit without the evidence of speaking in tongues. But this is not scriptural, for nowhere in the Bible is this taught. On the contrary, every time a believer is filled, there is always evidence, and that evidence is given so that the believer might know without a doubt that he or she has been filled. Secondly, the evidence or gift of speaking in tongues is an invaluable gift that every believer must have in order to have an effective prayer life, an effective witnessing ministry, and the other eight gifts in manifestation. Briefly, there are nine dynamic gifts of the Spirit, three gifts that say something, three gifts that reveal something, and three gifts that do something, otherwise known as a power gift. You can learn more about these gifts by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12. None of the other eight gifts will manifest in the life of the believer without first the baptism or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Additionally, the nine fruits of the Spirit are often hindered from manifesting in the lives of believers if the life of the believer is void of power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but have not yet received it because they're waiting on the Holy Spirit to do something or to speak through them. But if they continue doing this, they will never be filled. Some people have taught things that are unscriptural for so long that it's hard for them to do anything otherwise. Sad to say, brothers and sisters. For example, I have seen people praying over or around people who are about to speak with tongues. The Spirit of God would be moving on his or her vocal cords. Then someone would foolishly say, "Let the Holy Ghost talk." But it is not the Holy Ghost who is doing the talking, but rather the person receiving the Holy Ghost who is doing the talking. Now, it is all right to tell the person to yield to the Holy Spirit, but notice Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, they were filled and they began to speak in other tongues. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance, but the person who is receiving the Holy Spirit does the speaking. Many people think, "Well, Bishop, if I do the speaking, that would just be me." And my reply is, "Well, of course it will be you talking, but it will be the Holy Spirit who gives you the utterance." The point is that the Holy Ghost doesn't take over or force you to do anything, but you can respond to him and follow his promptings. He will give you utterance, but you do the talking. Again, brothers and sisters, nowhere in the Bible do we find that the Holy Ghost spoke in tongues. Every scriptural reference tells us that the person receiving the Holy Ghost does the talking and speaks the supernatural utterance, tongues, that the Holy Ghost gives them. You need not fear receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you need not fear that Satan will fill you with the wrong or counterfeit spirit. You can be sure that God will fill you with his Spirit and no other. For Luke 11:11 through 13 reads, If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a fish? Or give him a serpent rather than for a fish? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And then the scripture goes on to say, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? You need not fear that you will receive a spirit of error or wrong spirit, because if you are a child of God, what you are going to receive is the marvelous gift of the Holy Spirit and nothing but the Holy Spirit. So don't allow yourself to be distracted. Don't allow yourself to be fearful. Refuse to believe that you have to be anything more than born again to receive this marvelous gift. Brothers and sisters, today, open your mouth with boldness and faith and begin to speak. For as you do, you will find that the Holy Spirit will give you utterance, that heavenly language that only He can give, as you boldly give voice or sound to that utterance. For when you do, you will go from average to extraordinary, from mundane to effective and charismatic, from prison to praise, from powerless to powerful, from drawing back to stepping up boldly, proclaiming the word of faith with miraculous signs and wonders following. Like the disciples of the early church, the men and women in the world around you will take note that you have been with Jesus as you literally turn the world upside down. For as in my ministry and in the ministry of all believers, the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead shall be raised to life, and the gospel will be preached unto all the world. Come, Holy Spirit, promise of the Father.
Holy Spirit, we're waiting on you. Clap your hands now and welcome His presence. Come on, welcome His presence. Healings are going to happen. Deliverance is going to occur as we worship the Lord here tonight. Holy Spirit, we're waiting on you. Come on, just clap like this. Just say, Holy Spirit, we now wait. We now wait. There is nothing more that we can do. Send your power now and set the captive free. Holy Spirit, we're waiting on you. Holy Spirit, say that again. Holy Spirit, we now wait on you. There is nothing more that we can do. You ever been there? Send your power now and set the captive free. Holy Spirit, we're waiting on you. Say, Holy Spirit, we now wait. Lift our hearts, we pray, and make us new. A present help. You said that you would always be Holy Spirit. We're waiting on Holy Spirit. We're waiting. Lift those hands and say, come, Holy Spirit. Promise of the Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch me and my brother.